23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Why? "For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me."
Yeah.
They'll follow me. They're right on the heels of what I'm doing. I'm in the middle of where he's called me to be. And goodness and mercy, they're running after me. I can't get away from it because it's running after me. "The goodness and the mercy of the Lord shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We want to sing a new song for you this morning. You'll catch on. It's just a wonderful opportunity to think of the goodness of God and to praise Him. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Goodness of God, I love your voice. You have led me through the fire.
Yeah.
In darkest night, you are close like no other.
Yeah.
I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Oh, yeah.
You have led me through the fire,
yeah.
In darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. The goodness of God.
Your goodness and mercy.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. Running after me,
your goodness.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Your goodness, Lord.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. So good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness,
I'll sing
of
goodness.
God. Oh, yeah. All my life you have been faithful.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath of God, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness.
God, you're so good. Running after me, with my life laid surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
All my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
Won't you lift your hands and praise Him for His faithfulness today?
All my life. Hallelujah,
you've been so good, Lord. Come on, sing it again. Hallelujah. All my life you've been faithful, Lord.
All my life you have been faithful.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Hallelujah, Lord. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. We'll sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Come on, give Him praise this morning. He is good.
Hallelujah.
I will sing of the goodness of God. I will speak of the goodness of God. I will worship in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Anybody thankful that goodness and mercy is running after you?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I don't know. Some of you ain't got it yet. I said goodness and mercy is running after you. The Lord is pursuing you. The Lord loves you so much He'll never give up on you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Glory to, I don't know about you, but I feel
Hallelujah.
Like shouting. Come on, give Him a shout of praise this morning.
Hallelujah.
Give Him a shout of worship. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing. He has forgiven me. He has washed me. He has cleansed me. He's written my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I will sing of the goodness
Hallelujah.
Of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? And I'm going to give in the goodness of God, too. If our ushers would come, I'm going to worship Him with the same exuberance and the same enthusiasm as I have up to this point, because He's worthy of my praise. He is good. Let's worship the Lord in giving today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to worship You with our tithe and our offering. Everything we have, everything we are is because of You. It's because of Your goodness. We stand by that goodness today. We stand on that goodness. We praise You for Your mercy and grace that continues to run after us and pursue our lives. Thank You for overtaking us with Your blessings. Thank You for overtaking us with Your blessings today, Lord. We worship You in giving. Thank You for blessing us individually. Thank You for blessing our families, blessing this church, blessing this community through us, God. You have blessed us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, worship the Lord as You give.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give You everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Yeah, Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Thank You, Jesus.
My life laid down, I surrender now. I give You everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
goodness, Lord.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise one more time. Give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. God is good. He is great. And he is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this word today. I want to welcome all of those who are joining us online. Thank you for connecting with us. It's an honor to have you join us. Why don't we put our hands together and just let everybody know online watching, we appreciate you joining us in worship. God bless you. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on this title, Keeping the Promise Alive. Say that with me, Keeping the Promise Alive. I want you to turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm not going to read the scripture right now, but I want you to keep your Bibles open, your apps open, whatever you've got. And we're going to be moving through the scripture together throughout this message. This is a wonderful story, Old Testament story, with the prophet Elisha. I believe the Lord has a word for us today, so open your hearts and open your minds. Would you stretch your hands toward me and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Hallelujah. We thank you for the word, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Meet with us, Lord. Change us and transform us. Save someone who's lost today. Someone who's held in captivity. I pray that you would set them free today by the power of your word, the power of your spirit. Someone who's discouraged, I pray that they would be lifted up and encouraged in the Lord and realize that goodness and mercy is pursuing them. Oh, God, I pray that you would break every chain and fetter of darkness. And I pray this atmosphere would be charged with the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. Father, I pray that our minds would be arrested, our thoughts that may try to distract us, I pray that they would be brought under subjection to the obedience of Christ, and we would be able to focus on you and what you have for us today. Father, we just come to eat this meal together. We come to eat this meal together, Lord, break bread together, because we need your word. We need the nourishment that your word brings. We need the stability that it provides us, not just today, but throughout the week. So Holy Spirit, empower us now to receive the word and to apply the word. We thank you for this meal. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are general promises for the followers of the Lord, and then there are specific promises that he has made to you. How many of you have received a specific promise from the Lord? Raise your hand if you've received some kind of a promise from the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him, in Jesus, was yes. For all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. I like how the message paraphrase puts it. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. Hallelujah, I like that. Let me say it one more time. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. Here in 2 Kings chapter 4, we read about a godly woman who had received a promise from the Lord. And the Bible says in verse number 8, if you'll follow along with me, that one day Elisha went to Shunem. Shunem was a town in the territory of Issachar. named with Jezreel. And in Shunem there was a notable woman, undoubtedly a woman of good reputation and good standing in the community. And when Elisha would travel through the area, the Bible says she persuaded him to come in and eat some food. And as often as he would pass by, he would turn in there and eat some food. Continuing in verse number 9, and so she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed there for him, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, and so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And as I thought about this, I wonder if we do the same, church. I wonder if we are doing everything we can to make Jesus feel welcomed in our house. The place where we live, our church house, where we worship today, and most importantly, our physical house. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you invited Jesus to come and make his room in your house? Have you invited him to come and just stay where you are today? He wants to abide with you and me. And the only way he can do that is if you make a place for him to dwell. Does Jesus have a special room in your life today? Does Jesus have a special place in your life? How many know that Jesus wants to have first place? Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." How many of you know that the Lord is a gentleman? He will knock on the door of your heart, but he will not force that door open. Revelation 3 and 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have fellowship with him, and he with me." I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord wants to have fellowship with us, and we should desire to have fellowship with him. There is no better place you can be than in the presence of the Lord Almighty God. It's in his presence you find fullness of joy. It's in his presence you find satisfaction. It's in his presence, hallelujah, that you have peace and you have joy, and you realize that there's nothing in this world that can compare to the very presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. You must open the door and invite him in. Could it be that Jesus is on the outside of your life hoping for an invitation to come in? I just had this imagery of Jesus being on the outside and just hoping and that he would get an invitation to come in. And that's really what it is in our lives. I'm here to tell you today, church, don't leave Jesus on the outside in the cold, because if you do, your heart will be cold, indifferent, and unsatisfied. Make a place for him today and every day, and allow him to take up residence in your life, and you and Jesus together will have sweet fellowship. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? I'm talking about the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah. Continuing in verse number 11, "And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite woman.' When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, 'Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people. In other words, I am perfectly satisfied and content with my situation. I live on the best of terms with my neighbors. I am surrounded with my family, and I have no reason to change my connections or place of abode.'" Can I just stop right here to say for a moment, oh, the blessed state of contentment. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, "For I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so when we read that verse and we hear it quoted a lot, if you look at the primary context, he is saying, "I can do all things. I can be content. I can be satisfied with my relationship with Christ who strengthens me. That is the primary meaning of that verse when you look at it in its context. Godliness, the Bible says, with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we will carry nothing out. And with food and clothing, with these we shall be content. How many of you know that we need a revival of contentment in this land in which we live in? It's not about all the stuff. It's about your relationship with God. And I'm not saying stuff is wrong. What I'm saying is if you've got all the stuff and you've got all the toys, you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Because when it comes to the end of your life, it's about your relationship with the Lord. Do you know Him? Did you live your life to the fullest of serving God and serving people? But the man of God still wanted to bless this Shunammite. So he said to Gehazi, "What then is to be done for her?" How many of you know there are times in our lives, and I was talking to somebody about this morning. How many of you know there are times in our lives the Lord wants to surprise us with His blessings? Have you ever been surprised by the blessings of the Lord? You weren't even asking for it. You weren't even thinking about it. And all of a sudden, there's this blessing that's just been poured out in your life. I'm here to tell you that goodness and mercy is running after you. And the blessings of the Lord are being bestowed upon you, even those that you didn't even think about. It's a holy surprise. Hallelujah. To our knowledge, she was perfectly content and was not asking for anything. She was just looking for a way to be a blessing to someone else. Listen, when you make it a point to bless others, when you make it a point to put others' needs before your own, the Lord will make it a point to bless you, even if He has to surprise you with an unexpected blessing, and then all you can do is just turn that blessing back into praise. Thank you, Lord. I wasn't even expecting that one. I didn't even know that was coming down the pike, but I give you glory and I give you praise for it because you are a good and awesome God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makes me think of Deuteronomy 28. These blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Anybody want the blessings of the Lord to overtake you? He said, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall you be when you go out, and blessed shall you be when you come in. Hallelujah. Blessed you shall be. You can read Deuteronomy 28 and see the blessings of the Lord if you obey His voice. Hallelujah. Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, verse 15, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Listen to this. He said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Hallelujah. I don't know if she had been praying for a child. The implication is she probably had been at some point. Maybe she had prayed so long and nothing happened that she just gave up on it and forgot about it and just went ahead and dismissed it as something that's not going to happen in her life. But how many of you know that when you pray about something and you seek the face of God about something, He doesn't forget about it, host? This is a word for somebody here this morning. He's not forgotten what you prayed about. As a matter of fact, you may have forgotten about it, but He hasn't. It's like He bottles that thing up and all of a sudden, without you even understanding or knowing it or understanding the timing, God begins to pour out a blessing in your life and pour out His Spirit in your life, and you see the answer to that prayer that you might have prayed months ago or years ago. Or, oh, glory to God. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we even ask or even think, according to His power that works in us. So don't you give up. Just lift your hands and give Him praise for His blessings, and He hears your prayers. He knows what's going on, and He will pour out His blessing in your life, even when you might not expect it. Hallelujah. About this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Notice her response. No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. I believe she was saying, do not create within me a false sense of hope and excitement. Don't get my hopes all built up and then let down. Then let me down. Please don't tell me such a thing and it not come to pass. But the Bible says in verse number 17, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Can I just say right here that when God makes a promise to his people, you can take it to the bank. You can stand on it again, for the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. Is there anyone here today that can testify that our God is a promise-keeping God? Hallelujah. I said, is there anybody here that can testify that our God is a promise-keeping God? Whatever God has promised, hallelujah, get stamped with the yes of Jesus. Glory to God. We know the scripture's full of promises. I'm assuming you do anyway. Someone has taken the time to count 5,467 promises in the Bible. And I'm sure you would appreciate me not quoting all 5,000 of them in this message today. But I love what the Bible says in Isaiah 43. But now he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the floods they shall not overflow you. Hallelujah. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame be kindled upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I'm telling you, that's a wonderful promise that I have stood on many times. I've gone through the fire. I've gone through the rivers. I've gone through the waters, but thank God I've come out on the other side, and the God of peace and the God of joy has kept me through every situation. And I believe there's some people here that can testify the same thing. God has brought you through the waters. He's brought you through the rivers. He's brought you through the fire. You're still here because of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. He's been your healer when you were sick. He's been your encourager when you were down. He's lifted you up out of the mountains. Clay and set your feet on a rock to stay. Oh, we need to declare the goodness of God. His goodness, it's his mercy that we need to celebrate today. Hallelujah. All my life, he has been faithful. That's what we just got through singing about. As I reflected upon that this morning on my way to church, I had that song playing. I know Tommy had it playing the other day, and he was preparing the music, and the song had blessed him. And as I was listening to it this morning, I was just going down the road, tears just streaming down my face. All my life, God, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been good. Even when I wasn't serving the Lord, he sent an angel to protect me. He sent angels, hallelujah, to rescue me, had to keep my life from destruction. Anybody here want to just take a praise break and praise God for the goodness? Praise him for his mercy. It's because of his goodness you're here today. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him honor. God is good. Hallelujah. He's good. He's good. Come on, one more. You got to do it some more with me. Give God praise in the house. Give him praise. He rescued you from sin. He pulled you out of darkness. He pulled you out of the road that was headed to destruction. He brought you out and saved you, redeemed you, and called you, and sanctified you, and set you back on the right road in his kingdom. Would you lift your hands and give God praise with me? Hallelujah. 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 Give him praise. Wave those hands to the Lord for a minute. Just give him a wave offering. Hallelujah. This is a wave offering of his goodness. Praising him for his goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. Mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. It's the mercy of God that's overtaken us today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But as great of a woman of faith as this Shunammite was, her faith was about to be stretched and tested. How many know that our faith is often tested? Count it all joy, the Bible says, when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. But let patience have its, let it have its perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. He's seeking to bring spiritual maturity to our lives so that we can grow. And the only way we can grow at times is if we go through some things, and the Lord knows that. Because we have this tendency to get satisfied and get complacent. And those trials of life push us toward Him and keep us dependent upon Him. Not upon ourselves, but upon Him and Him alone. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 18, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." Some commentators I read think he had some kind of aneurysm. I don't know what the physical ailment was. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But it was obviously a fatal illness. So he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Have you ever had a promise from God die in your lap? And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon or the Sabbath." Evidently, it was their custom to go to worship with the man of God and hear the word of God on these feast days. And he said, and she said rather, "It is well." Say those words with me. "It is well." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off, and he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now and meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered, say it one more time with me, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." When you get desperate enough, listen right here, don't you miss this. When you get desperate enough, when your circumstances are unfavorable enough, it does not matter who or what gets in your way, you will press through until you get what you need. You will press through until you get what your soul longs for. She wasn't trying to be disrespectful to Elisha's servant, Gehazi, but because she had her mind fixed on one thing, getting to the man of God, she gave the servant the short version. "It is well." She hadn't come to see Gehazi. She had come to find Elisha. You need to remember the Old Testament prophets foreshadowed the one who was to come. They were all pointing to Jesus. They served as a type of Christ. They were a type of Christ, and in fixing her focus on the prophet Elisha, in essence, she was fixing her eyes upon Jesus. She was saying, "If I can just get to the prophet, I know he can get a hold of God for me." She wasn't going to allow anything to come in between her and God's help. How many of you know there comes a time when you, when talking about a situation to other people will not get the job done? It's time to take that situation straight to the, glory to God, take that thing straight to the throne room of God. Yeah, we can talk about it. We can say, "Well, I can't believe that happened." And we can say, "Wow, wow, that's a horrible situation, and oh, woe is me, and we can just build ourselves just a big old pity party if we're not careful. But how many of you know we got to, sometimes you got to stop talking about it to other people and go straight to the throne room. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In essence, what she was saying is, just get me to Jesus. Just get me to somebody who can help me with my situation. I'm here to tell somebody here this morning, I can't fix your situation. I cannot solve your circumstance, but there is one who can. Oh, I feel the presence of God in this house. Just get yourself to Jesus. Get up from where you are, hallelujah, and find yourself in the very presence of God. Pursue him with everything within you, that's within you. Just get me to Jesus. Just get me to Jesus. Just get me to Jesus. Reminds me of what the writer of Hebrews said. He said, since we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. What did she do? She pressed through the crowd. Just get me to, I just got to get to Jesus. I just got to get to the one who can do something about my situation. I mean, she had spent everything she had, 12 long years she had this condition. She spent all her money on all the physicians and nobody could help her. But then comes in Dr. Jesus. He comes walking by one day. Glory to God. How many of you know that he's still walking by and he's still performing miracles? He's still walking up among the aisles of the church. He's still moving in people's lives. He's still moving in people's homes. He's with somebody driving down the road right now in the car. I'm telling you, God is moving. Just reach out and touch him. Oh, hallelujah. Just reach out and touch him. Don't let him get by without you touching him. Don't let him pass on by without you getting a blessing from the Lord. Hallelujah. It reminds me of Jacob wrestling with God. He said, I ain't going to let go until you bless me. That same tenacity, that same perseverance, that same determination. I won't, if it takes all night long, if I have to stay in this prayer closet for hours, if I have to I'm going to stay here until I know that you bless me. I'm going to stay here till I know that something has changed. It may not have changed in the natural yet, but it's changed on the inside of me. And my perspective has changed, and I see it differently. I've got faith to press on. I've got faith to continue on, that it's going to be all right because the Lord told me so. In his presence, he said, run on, my child, run on. Hallelujah. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall be of good courage. He said, wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. So she's at his feet. She's pleading with Elisha, saying, did I not ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get your servant ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Oh, I like that. So she arose and followed her. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. Several commentaries I consulted said this about Gehazi placing his staff on the child's head. Elisha's only intention in sending the servant must have been to give the Shunammite and her family, and possibly also Gehazi himself, a practical proof that the power to work miracles was not in any magical way with his person or his staff, but that miracles could only come through prayer and faith in God's power to perform. Elisha was trying to get their attention off of him and on to the Lord. And while I'm on that subject, a true man or a woman of God will always be getting the attention off themselves and on to the Lord. And if you ever come across somebody that's always, look at what I've done and look at what I've accomplished and look at how great of a message I preached and look at how great of a lesson I've taught, just know that that spirit is not of God. If somebody's going to praise you, it needs to be the lips from somebody else and not your own lips. That's one of the telltale signs of whether somebody's from God or not. Are they pointing other people to Jesus, or are they pointing people to themselves? No wonder the scripture says in Zechariah 4 and 6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. James 5 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Why is that? Because his or her faith is placed in God's ability to perform and not yours, not mine, not anybody else's. It's not about your ability or mine. It's about God's ability to perform. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person who puts their faith and trust in God. Oh, there's great power behind those prayers to accomplish exponential miracles in the presence of God. Verse 32 tells us, I'm trying to wrap this up, probably getting late. You okay for a few more minutes? When Elisha came into the house, there was a child, verse 32, lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door of the two of them, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. He'd probably be arrested today for something like this, but. And stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes, and he called to Gehazi, and said, call this Shunammite woman. Hallelujah. So he called her, and she came into him. He said, pick up your son. Pick up your promise. I know it looked like your promise had died, but I want you to know that what God, what he has started, he will bring to fulfillment. Hallelujah. Just know that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. She went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. She picked up her son and went out. And as I was meditating on these verses, the Holy Spirit gave me what I sensed was a revelation. Sometimes when we're praying about a situation and believing God for a breakthrough, believing God for a miracle, we stop short of God's best for our lives. We often give up while on the brink of a miracle. God says, I want you to press on towards complete deliverance, total liberation. And instead of pressing on and coming to complete deliverance, sometimes we often settle for less than complete breakthrough. Listen, nothing short of this promised child coming back to life was satisfactory to this Shunammite woman and to Elisha. She was not about to give up on the promise from God, and neither was Elisha. And I believe I've got a word for somebody here today. You can't give up now. You've come way too far. You prayed too many prayers to just throw in the towel. I'm here to tell you, God may just surprise you, just like he did the Shunammite woman. You've got to hang on to your faith. You've got to hang on to your courage in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are in what seems like a hopeless situation, I've got good news for you today. God is faithful to his promises and is able to do the miraculous by raising up what seems hopeless in your life. I said he's able to raise up, he's able to resurrect what seems hopeless, what seems dead. I'm here to tell somebody he's the God of resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Do as the Shunammite woman did. Don't look to anything else. Don't speak negativity, telling everybody it's died. Don't tell everybody the Lord is that he just went ahead and gave up on me. No, don't you speak that negativity. Instead, lay the problem down where the promise was birthed. Notice she took that child up to the bed of the man of God. This is where it all started. Lord, you're the one that gave me this child. You're the one that gave me this promise. I didn't even think about it anymore. Yeah, I prayed about it many years ago, but I had let it go. You gave me this promise. She took it straight to the Lord. The woman grabbed Elisha by the feet and then refused to leave him. How many of you know you got to grab the Lord with all that you got and refuse to let him go? And there's times that you've got to speak this in faith. It is well. She wasn't saying her circumstances were favorable. She was just saying, I've got my mind on one thing, and it's getting to Jesus. Getting to the man of God. He's the only one that can help me. Hallelujah. And if we'll get our minds and our eyes off of those things that are weighing and burdening us down today, and we'll just get our eyes singly focused on the Lord, miracles take. Somebody, when you hear the word miracle, you always think of this huge earth-shaking event. But how do you know if your perspective changes on a situation and your mindset changes, that can be a miracle too. It's a miracle of faith that says, you know what? I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to grab hold of the Lord. I'm not going to let him go. And I'm going to grab hold of the people of God to support me on this journey. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I've come way too far to turn back now. There is a prize waiting on me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How many of you are looking forward to that wonderful place called heaven? Is anybody looking forward to being with Jesus forever and forever? It's going to be worth it, my friends. It's going to be worth it all. So you've got to keep pressing now. Hallelujah. 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 Would you please stand with me? I just sense this theme running through my spirit right now. Just get me to Jesus. Just get me to Jesus. If that's you, why don't you just, hallelujah, symbolically demonstrate that by getting out of your seat and coming down to this altar as quick as you. Just get me to Jesus. Just get me to Jesus. I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care what's around. Just get me to Jesus. Just get me in his presence. There's a blessing there. There's a provision there. There's a breakthrough there. There's a healing there. There's a deliverance. Just get me to Jesus. There is a promise coming back to life again. Just get me to Jesus. Hallelujah. Just get me in his presence.